Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." "Who do people say that you are? How are you referred to in this life? How would your friends identify you? How would your family? Or unfortunately, how would those who speak ill of you refer to you?" In our own lives as private citizens here in the USA in 2014 AD, there are many folks who can and do speak of us. They may or may not know us, but they do think of and definitely speak of us. This is what we call our reputation. With the advent of smartphones, broadband internet, and all the various modes of social media, this issue of privacy and reputation come up more and more often. So, if there are many facets to how people may or may not speak of us here today, how was it for the Son of Man, our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in first century Palestine? Jesus Christ is the Son of Man, true Son of God, born of Mary, through the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit, with Joseph as his stepfather, helping to raise him as the angel commanded. This miracle worker and speaker, who attracted thousands of men and their families to a hillside to listen to him. Who did they say he was? And how about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Jewish leadership that was at odds with Jesus throughout his entire ministry? What did they think and speak about regarding Jesus? When Jesus asked the question, the disciples stated that some thought that Jesus was John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, or even one of the prophets. So stop and think on that for a moment. John had been beheaded not that terribly long before this episode. John the Baptist himself had baptized Jesus when Jesus was about 30 years old. It is a little incredible to think that people would think that Jesus was the resurrected John the Baptist. However, that's what's reported in the text. And yet, when you do think about it, there is a statement of the resurrection hope there. While the statement of John coming back as Jesus may sound a bit like reincarnation, at the core of that statement, John was thought of as being alive again. And no, we do not come back as other beings at the time of our earthly death. We go to be with Christ, secured in our baptismal blessings. As for the Son of Man being named by the people as Elijah, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets, stop and think on that for a moment. Again, they are stating in their minds that one of God's messengers came back from the dead. They are still in that reincarnation thinking, which is not the church's teaching. With this thinking, however, the people recognized that Jesus of Nazareth was one of God's spokesmen. Yet, with identifying him as one of the prophets returning from the dead, the people did not recognize him as the Son of Man, true Son of God. This is core to remember. The general public did not confess Jesus as the true Son of God. Looking backwards with our Easter eyes, we see that this is reincarnation thinking going on. Looking over to John's gospel account, we also see in John chapter 5 that Jesus was seen as a blasphemer, one that should die. The words of John: "This was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God." The Jewish leadership, the scribes and Pharisees, the ones that should have been looking for the Messiah to come. And to see Jesus as that Messiah were the same ones that condemned the true Son of God for rightly calling Yahweh God his Father. It is truly a terrible tragedy for those in the Jewish faith that they did not and do not see Jesus as the Christ with eyes of faith. Rather, they looked at him and condemned him as a nasty, dirty heretic that should be killed. Jesus was further rejected by his own hometown. Three chapters back before our text today, Matthew recorded these words and thoughts from Nazareth. Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And are not all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. The families that grew up with Jesus, the people that would have been called into court as character witnesses in a civil suit, denied Jesus as the Christ. But not only did they reject him, they took offense at Jesus. This is not a simple dismissal. They stepped it up a notch in their displeasure. They were offended at Jesus being identified as the Messiah. So having now explored how some of the people of first century Palestine thought that the Son of Man was, who do people today think that Jesus is? Atheist author and professor Richard Dawkins contends that Jesus actually came to abolish Scripture. From his book, The God Delusion, Dawkins writes, "Jesus was not content to derive his ethics from the scriptures of his upbringing. He explicitly departed from them. Since a principal thesis of this chapter is that we do not, and should not, derive our morals from scripture, Jesus has to be honored as a model for that very thesis." Richard Dawkins seems to have forgotten the teaching of Jesus Christ from the Sermon on the Mount as recorded earlier in St. Matthew's Gospel. "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot, will pass from the law until all is accomplished." So Jesus Christ didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill it, to set you and me free. And now, we will turn and look at how one of the world religions that come knocking at your door say who Jesus is. For our examination this morning, we'll look at the Jehovah's Witnesses. They do state that Jesus never claimed to be on the same level as Almighty God. So, just as Richard Dawkins seemed to miss some plain teachings of Jesus, the Jehovah's Witnesses missed another clear point. Let us listen to the words of Jesus in John chapter 10 as he answered some of the Jews at the Feast of the Dedication as to whether or not he was the Christ. Jesus answered them, "I told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." And so, as the theme is today, let the Son of Man define who he is. When the Jehovah's Witnesses come knocking at your door, answer them with these words of Jesus. Ask them to explain Jesus' words that I and the Father are one. This morning, we have been exposed to some of the false teachings of the world. Regrettably, there are more. However, we cannot cover them in one single sermon. But moving from here, we will look at how faithful Christians view Jesus today. First off, they take Jesus at his own word. Jesus is God. The reformer, Martin Luther, put it plainly, and we confess this today. This is who Jesus is. God near us. Not far away, ignorant of our existence. Not just watching from afar. Not distant, aloof from our suffering. But near, in the flesh. Available and present and distributed to his people every day, every week, all our lives. Christ Jesus is the God who is near. In the Nicene Creed, we confess that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, and is God of God, light of light, sharing his substance with the Father, by whom all things were made. This creed that we confess together during the communion services clearly states that Jesus is true man and true God, born of the Virgin Mary. He lived a historical life in first century Palestine. Bible-believing Christians also confess that Jesus was present at creation with the Father. We confess the truth as outlined in the first four verses of John's Gospel's account. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. The life was the light of men. Plainly put, Jesus is our Savior, and we confess that today. He died on the cross to free us from the penalty of our sin. He died and rose for you. His death paid for all our sins. His resurrection and ascension are the proof of the Father accepting the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Christians today take Jesus at his word and see that he did indeed live, die, and rise again. Having covered how first century Palestine viewed Jesus and how he's viewed today, the final question for today is this. Who does the Father say that Jesus was? In the Gospel according to Matthew, God the Father makes it very plain who he says Jesus is. God the Father spoke twice during Jesus' life regarding his views on the matter. First, at the baptism of Jesus. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And at the Mount of Transfiguration, the Father also spoke as recorded in the next chapter, Matthew 17. He was still speaking, when behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." In these two events, God the Father spoke directly to those who were there regarding his views on who Jesus is. Through the work of the true Son of God, Jesus Christ, the whole paradigm of God's speaking was changed. God the Father shifted from using spokesmen, Moses and the prophets, to his own Son to reach his people. To keep the communication flowing to this day and beyond, Jesus instituted the office of the Holy Ministry to lead his church. From today's gospel reading. And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The Father revealed to Peter that Jesus was the Christ. This rock, Petros in the Greek, is the true confession of Jesus as the Christ and the faith to speak it and believe it. on this firm foundation of this rock, of this confession and faith, the church is built. This faith is believing that Jesus is the Christ, the true Son of God. He has saved his people. He has saved you. The African author Michael Bassey Johnson puts it, "To believers, the Bible is a holy book. To unbelievers, it's a storybook. To those outside of the church, God's word is only a fictional story. They do not let the Son of Man, who is Jesus, define who he is. They do not trust him. This puts one in peril. Those that dismiss him by not believing that Jesus is the true Son of God and is the only way to heaven are blind to the truth of free forgiveness of all sins. This is their downfall. We pray earnestly that they would come to the true realization of who Jesus is. To believers, the Bible is more than a holy book. It is God's very word and tells us exactly who God is and who the Son of Man is. The enemies of God have and will continue to slander the true Son of Man and to those who follow him. We can reply to their lies with the truth. Jesus was a real man. He was born of Mary. By his dying and being raised from the dead, we can fully trust that his word is true. We pray that those who are outside of the church would receive this truth gladly and have God work his salvation in them. By his death on the cross, we have been declared righteous, justified, and forgiven. The holiness of Jesus has been credited to our account, and we are his saints, clothed in the righteousness of Christ through faith in his name. This is what it means to be justified by grace through faith and to have forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Finally, as baptized Christians, we know who the Son of Man is, Jesus Christ, Son of Man, true Son of God, born of Mary and suffered and died and was raised on Easter morning. The Holy Spirit keeps us in the true faith and continues to point to the true Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, that has washed us clean in the waters of holy baptism. Amen.